Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Coller, Nolan Hams, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Coller from TLC Creative Services based back in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz, and I'm in snowy Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey, where it has been fall for like a month and the trees look beautiful.
Thank you for joining us for, well, a special Out of Sync podcast release. This is part two of our conversation with Yulia Barnikova, and we're talking about the future of presentations, which is also the name of the recently released Presentation Guild Industry Think Tank white paper. If you have not listened to part one of this conversation, which is episode 114, part A, hey, stop here. Just go listen to it, because this conversation is picking up with the question Sandy started last episode, and we get to hear the answer now.
Well, let's talk about video, if that's okay. You know, you've mentioned a couple things. You mentioned the effort to, you know, drive like a together, to demonstrate being together. You know, Teams is doing that. Zoom is starting with the ability, the capability to present in slide. So we're in slide. Now Teams just announced that. And it looks pretty awesome. The strength, Microsoft Teams announced that they're going to do that. And it looks pretty cool. So let's talk about maybe the virtual worlds versus, and presenting in a virtual world versus presenting like simple video, video conferencing.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are ways that you can make video conferences a little bit more immersive and more interesting. So as you mentioned, Teams just came out with Together Mode, which basically puts the same background on different video streams. So it looks like you're together and you kind of have that more of a together feeling. There are also other ways to make the video calls more immersive. So, as an example, Peter, who's the CEO of Prezi, was saying that, you know, he was actually showing us during our think tank discussion how you can overlay video graphics on top of your face. So that way it kind of creates more of a dynamic environment than just kind of seeing your slides or your face or like a little box there together. So that's kind of the video perspective. And then there are other things coming out like the app and, you know, Zoom just created this feature, which actually I've seen this used in preschool very effectively, where you can actually kind of go into your slide where, like, as an example, like if a teacher is reading a book, she could be showing the book pages with herself on top of the book, you know, versus.
Wait, how did you see that? Because this is new forthcoming stuff that I know of. Where are you talking about?
So this is in preschool classes. This is already being used in Zoom.
Oh, in the Zoom version where you can upload the slides. Yes,
exactly. Yep.
Yeah. 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 Sneak peek. This may be coming to all of us soon, but you know, so this is actually like, it's now so easy. I'm going to go back, 3-4 years at least. Oh, maybe 5-6. We have a client that does, medical, they basically analyze content from medical conferences. I mean, they're leading speakers in the arena they're in. So they actually build their own slide deck based on the presentations. They kind of summarize it all. One of the things they started doing, they had us create the presentations for it, is they actually had their consortium of doctors and they would videotape them on a green screen, but they would be able to reference, you know, an off camera screen. We designed the templates. They were 16x9 templates, but they were really 4x3 slides. So there is a strip on the right-hand side where the video company post-production put these presenters like literally walking up to the slide data and saying, look at this data. And so it's not a new concept. It was just crazy expensive back then. And now you're talking about it for preschool, which is pretty cool and amazing. And it's going to become standard. Julie, I want to ask this question. Actually, I'll ask this question to everybody because I think there are companies out there that were ahead of the curve, like way before COVID, like we're talking years. They have offerings out there and they just don't get enough attention. Is anybody familiar with Cisco's telepresence, the desk, the video desk scenario?
No.
Silence. No. So this is like so ahead of the curve. You literally installed it at a corporate office and it was basically you sat at a half moon table, if you will. I don't know, maybe six people could sit at it and you faced an array of just giant flat panel screens because the other office had the exact mirror image of the half moon table. So you were all sitting looking across the table each other. It's just that whatever side of the room you were on, the other table was in another building. It was like another, you know, another part of the world. It was a very, very cool togetherness mode. Like we are meeting together, even though we're not physically together. That was one that I got to make leverage and use. The other one that was really cool that I'm really surprised never quite got off the ground. How about Microsoft Roundtable? Did you guys ever?
Never heard of that.
This is, you know, when you go into a conference room, when we could go into a conference room together and they'd have that phone in the middle that, you know, was like kind of the, looked like a giant hockey puck because it had microphones. This was that idea, but it actually had a camera. Yulia, was very much like your Pepper's Ghost. It's basically an inverted mirror camera and it would capture 360 degrees. It had like eight microphones and like eight camera positions and it would give everybody watching a film strip of everybody. So, and it would focus on, way ahead of when Zoom did it. If you were talking, it would put the camera focus on you and your voice would be the more dominant one. But you could then have another room of people and you could have these two layers of film strips. Again, it's that whole idea of togetherness that we're talking about. It's not new. It's just, it never needed to be used as much. And I think these companies were unfortunately too ahead of the curve to leverage or, you know, capitalize on it. But those are two technologies that come to mind. And I'm so excited for hearing things like, hey, a preschool is putting the teacher in the book. That's just awesome to me.
Hey, Yulia, what have you seen that's like really worked? And cause, I mean, a lot of the stuff is obviously first gen and, you know, we're figuring it out. What have you seen things that you think are like super, super successful? Like, yeah, that was a great solution.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's maybe somewhat surprisingly, I think that the virtual worlds concept has absolutely a lot of potential, and it's already seen some really great success. So the platform Altspace that I talked to you about earlier, they put on Burning Man this year in a virtual setting. So imagine.
Really? Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. So imagine all of the logistics and all of the people that would have to get on the platform. I mean, it's not a traditionally virtual reality audience that would get into this place. But they had, you know, designers that built these amazing worlds that were very similar to kind of the real experience, or at least as close as they could get. And they did a really massive, I forget exactly how many people joined, but it was a really successful event. And, you know, even though it wasn't, you know, it was kind of a fraction of what it would have been, people still felt really together and they developed relationships and they even had some really crazy memories. And so that was, I would say that's one success. And then the next week after Burning Man, there was a conference called the Global HR Summit that happened in Altspace, which was also successful. And so, you know, you're seeing these, it's not just for, you know, for gamers anymore, these kind of platforms. It's being used for more of the mainstream to more of the, you know, the business leaders who are kind of more on the cutting edge. And I've seen some very interesting, images from that of people having a lot of fun, being really together and feeling that sense of presence and making memories.
I have a suggestion. I think you, Troy, and Yulia should approach Microsoft about using Altspace to hold our next MVP summit. I didn't know it was a Microsoft product. I mean, I think it would be awesome.
So like in something like Altspace, that, I mean, I see that as a sort of a meeting, a group thing. I don't necessarily see it as a presentation platform, or, I mean, disabuse me of that thought. Like how does one present? Like how's the one to many in that? Is it just somebody sitting, you know, standing on a virtual stage and talking to a virtual audience?
I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe as part of the resources, we can put a clip to a keynote that I actually did on a virtual stage for the most recent presentation summit. But essentially, you're there. You can create kind of almost like a TED Talk space if you want the kind of the most traditional presentation style. Mm-hmm. And then people join and they sit in seats and they kind of watch you walk around the stage and have slides behind you, just like you would in a TED experience. And I've had colleagues actually from my consulting work join me, and they've said that they've really felt much more immersed there in a space like that than they would on a Zoom call, because there's something about, you know, being able to look around, see the other audience members, being able to kind of mill around the audience a little bit, maybe change their seating position, all that kind of stuff, and be able to see kind of my head movements as well. Like you can see my arms, my head movements, all that kind of stuff. It really does create more of an immersive experience. And what I'm actually really excited about in terms of virtual reality keynotes and just presentations in general is, you know, the world is really yours to play with. I mean, it is really like your canvas. I mean, you're in this virtual space, and every inch or every voxel maybe of that space is something that you can play with. So, and at the keynote that I was just talking about, I actually took out a horse and I put it in the middle of the stage, and I accidentally put it on some of the audience's heads actually. And, you know, even though that was not, you know, that was not expected, but many of the audience members now have an actual memory of having a horse put on their heads.
Well, that's good, because in when I speak in person, I sometimes bring a horse onto the stage. So now I can bring that over.
And Nolan, I mean, maybe you would enjoy this in particular with your performance background. You know, you could probably juggle a lot of, you know, you could probably juggle.
I could juggle as many balls as I want, I guess, right?
Exactly. But I think, you know, if you think about the creative possibilities here, right? Like if you have a, you know, something that you want to show, it can be huge. I mean, in my last presentation, I had an elephant backstage, and I actually went back there and grabbed it at a critical moment in my presentation. And it's like, boom, you snap your finger, you have an elephant on top of the stage. And there were gasps in the audience because they just weren't expecting it, you know? And it's like, it just gives you so much more creative freedom to really tell your story and be able to create that audience experience in a much more immersive way. There's also another platform called Frame VR that actually is like a one-click solution. You don't have to download anything. And I've been playing around in that as well. And what's interesting there is you can, at one click, you can change the entire surroundings. Like you can change, you know, what's outside of your windows. You can change the slides. You can change, you know, a 3D model could be here one moment and then gone the next. So it's kind of like the slides in a way that you're advancing are really not the 2D slide behind you, but really your entire world. Like imagine being able to swipe, you know, on your phone and just change your entire surroundings in one swipe. And that is really the promise of these virtual worlds, is it's just a whole new playground for creativity.
So what other events have you mentioned? Burning Man and the Global HR. We'd love the link to your keynote example, but what other events have been happening on these platforms?
So Educators in VR is actually a really good organization to look at if anyone's interested. They hold a number of events. I mean, it's everything from, you know, I think they have even knitting classes, believe it or not, in virtual reality, to, you know, writing classes, which is also kind of interesting. But then they also have various conferences, various events that they put on. I was actually part of their very first conference that they did back in February, where I was presenting on the topic of presenting in a virtual setting and kind of all of the differences that are there. And so that's definitely an organization check out. The other interesting thing about kind of just the space and the events that you can have is that, you know, when you're, it's a whole new kind of skill set that you're having to gain in order to present in this kind of environment. Because, you know, as a kind of the traditional rules are really changing. You know, we always talk about making eye contact as an example, but when you're in a virtual world, your avatar kind of naturally makes contact for you. And you can also, you know, there's always talk about not having notes or not, you know, reading too closely from a teleprompter or something like that. But in a virtual world, you can literally have anything in front of you that you want. You can have your entire, you know, imagine your presenter view in your PowerPoint being right in front of your eyes and your audience can't see that.
Confidence monitor right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And actually, I mean, speaking of Infinite, Facebook just came out with a new headset and they're talking about this concept of the Infinite Office where you can, it's kind of blending the real world and the virtual world where you can kind of look at your screen in virtual reality and also see that superimposed onto your actual surroundings as well. So there are a lot of possibilities. And I like what you said earlier, Troy, about being kind of designing presentations differently, because that's also the heart of the paper is what do people who design and deliver presentations need to do differently in the future. So as an example, if you're a designer, how do you design differently when, you know, you're designing for a presentation where the presenter will be superimposed on part of that slide. Mm-hmm. So that looks very different. When you're designing for a virtual reality presentation, it's almost like designing for TED because you can't have a lot of text. You almost have to have TED style slides of, you know, more graphics and that sort of thing because the resolution is not great on people's screens. So if you're sitting in the back, you will not be able to see a lot of heavy text as an example. And just the way that you're presenting. So when you're presenting, you know, Troy, to your earlier point about the, you know, the doctors having to refer to their slides in the background, the way that you're handling yourself on a video call when the slide is behind you is very different than you would have to do in just a regular video presentation, or the skills that you need in order to present on a virtual reality stage is, you know, they're also a little bit different than what you'd need to do in a regular setting. So, you know, being able to manage a lot of different screens as an example, you know, that's probably something people aren't used to, or, you know, being able to manifest different objects on command versus just flipping the slide. That's another example. So all of these different things is just something to be aware of and start to build those skills for the future to stay on the cutting edge.
Troy, what do you see that's kind of eking its way into in the events that you're managing?
Well, that whole conversation we just had about using, I mean, so professional speakers or speakers that have been on what I'll call a professional stage, they often have confidence monitors in front of them so they can see the slides. They don't have to turn their back and look at the screen behind them. They also have a rolling script, mm-hmm. you know, news anchors, speech givers everywhere. They have, you know, they can use presidentials, which are glass ones. So the camera literally is shooting through the glass, but they're looking directly at the camera, but they're actually reading words in front of the camera. I mean, all that is common play in a much larger arena, but this whole ability to have a Zoom meeting where somebody is staring at their monitor has changed. I mean, we've watched this evolution dramatically in just the last 4 months, where we had a presenter doing their first sales presentation. Now, this isn't like, hey, Nolan, let me tell you about the latest vacuum. This is, hey, we've invested $3 million into this product, and here's where we think the trends are. I mean, these are big level, you know, sales meetings. And you usually don't turn that over to like a junior new person to the team. Well, this presenter had presenter view open and they literally were, here's the slides, read those words. They could have been a hired actor and it would have been great because even inflection and things that were, you'll reference this and make sure you pause at this point were put into that. This person read beautifully. I actually think the brand new person sounded better than the kind of more casual, relaxed presenters because they were taking it a little more seriously. But that is an evolution that has taken what used to be a very high level thing, put it into everybody's lap. And you just need to spend the time and write the words into presenter view. And PowerPoint is your like best friend for making you super professional.
To your point, Troy, kind of this democratization almost of professional speaking, we're now teleprompters are easier than ever to buy. Like I actually just bought one to save me time from doing all these retakes on videos. And you just put that in front of your camera and you just use an iPhone and yep. You're able to create, a much more professional looking video. And if you kind of, if you're strategic about it, then your eye movements won't even be seen. So I think that's a really great point is now more people than ever are able to kind of access this more professional presentation style.
I absolutely think so. And you had the little one that's like a little shelf and it has a little pink angle glass that goes right in front of the webcam or whatever camera you're using.
Exactly.
And it's so amazing. I mean, it's a couple $100 and it's like, you're getting the same technology as what a professional teleprompt system would bring. Now you're not getting the person scrolling it. Although I've been watching software where let's say another third party control the app on your phone so you can get the pacing down to even further. The other thing that I think I see a lot of or what I'm waiting for, you mentioned the Facebook Infinite Office like glasses things and they're cool because they're not like a HoloLens. They don't look like they're, an entire spaceship sitting on your head. But the idea, I'm waiting for the day where all the audience is going to have VR glasses because you're going to literally use those to see a modified, I'm not going into the virtual worlds because I think that's still a far stretch for people to say, this is a simple meeting. We don't want to invest in that technology, but I'm waiting for people to get that so they can like literally, here's the document. It'll come up in front of them, instead of just looking at a flat screen. I think there's going to be I think we're not that far away from the merging of those technologies coming into just normal, what I'll call business meetings. And it'll be exciting.
Speaking of hardware, you mentioned the teleprompter. What do you need to get started in this? Like, is just your computer? What's on your computer? What do you need? What other equipment will help out with this?
Yeah. I mean, a computer app, you can just use your existing equipment. I mean, most of these platforms like Altspace, like Frame VR and others that I've mentioned, they just need a computer to get started. So you absolutely don't need a virtual reality headset, although that does give you more of an immersive presence. Although as Troy mentioned, the Oculus Quest 2, which just came out, is a much more accessible option for $300. You're actually getting what many professional headsets have already incorporated. Although it's at the price of having a Facebook account, which some people are.
You have to have a Facebook
I did not
account,
know that. Right? Oh, it'd be, little details.
Wait, is Oculus owned by Facebook?
It is. And yes, they are actually, Facebook is starting to kind of take away the Oculus brand. So there, it's just going to be Facebook.
Yes. Facebook on your face.
Yeah.
There you go.
No. Okay. So computers needed, VR headsets, nice. A microphone, things to capture. I want to ask this question because you've probably used more platforms than all of us, at least combined together. Run through. What platforms you use and maybe what are your favorites? Because I know this will be great because there'll be names I've never heard of.
Sure. So Altspace, not surprisingly, is my favorite because it is so feature rich and it's free to use. So anybody can go there and create a meeting basically right now as you're listening to this.
Don't do that. Just wait till the end of the podcast.
Please. Yeah, don't stop quite yet. But then there's also Frame VR, which is owned by Virbela, which I'll talk about in a sec. But Frame VR currently is in beta, and you're essentially going in, and it's just a one-click platform. And it's the one that I was talking about where in one click, you can actually change your entire surroundings and change the surroundings for your entire audience as well. That's been used by a lot of educators, even as like a little house for content or even for pre-work. So imagine instead of sending, you know, like a PDF or a bunch of materials to students for students to read through email, you say, hey, here's a one click solution that you could go to. And then they come into like this little gallery space. And then you're seeing, you know, PDFs on the walls that you can look through. You're seeing the professor's video talking about what this actually is and what the class will be like. And, you know, you could see various, you know, artworks or various materials for the course on the walls. So that's, people have been using that, especially in the education space, as kind of a one-click solution. There's also Mozilla Hubs, which has been kind of an early pioneer of the one-click WebXR experience. There have been some conferences in that, but I kind of like Frame VR a little bit more because Mozilla's had some issues, had some layoffs. So the future there is a little bit more uncertain. Mozilla Hubs is also free. There's also Horizon, which is Facebook's platform. That's almost kind of like Altspace that's coming out shortly. It's currently has some beta testers in it right now. But that's going to be pretty big when it does roll out more. There's also Verbella, as I mentioned before. That one's probably the closest to Second Life, where you have just a bunch of avatars roaming around. That one does not have virtual reality support like the other ones. There's also MoodUp, which is a very enterprise focused platform. It's extremely feature rich. You can kind of have Zoom call people who kind of beam in through Zoom into a virtual reality space. And there's also Spatial that I mentioned before as kind of what I would call the gold standard right now in enterprise collaboration. I could do more, but
I'm actually still making notes. I'm trying to look these up. This is awesome.
Let me say this is for a full list of these platforms, you can actually go to the XR directory, which is managed by Charlie Fink, who is, if you haven't heard of him, he's kind of the guru of these virtual platforms. He has a funny story that, you know, he was teaching a course at a university when the pandemic hit, and he actually had to go back. He had to teach the class remotely. And so what he did is he took a few virtual reality headsets from the school, which had been available to him in the class. And he and the students actually experimented with something like over 100 platforms. So he kind of wrote them all up in a book. And he also has a directory that he is managing. So that's a really helpful resource if you ever want kind of the full list.
So you've touched upon it a little bit here and there, but like, is there anything being done or that people can do in sort of the everyday software we currently use? Is there any virtual reality built into PowerPoint or Google Slides or Prezi? Before we start running, how can we crawl into this with what we're comfortable with and what we have?
Sure. So, I mean, I think that kind of that interactivity that we were talking about before is really key here. So if you really want to get your kind of your video conferencing skills down, really make sure that you're kind of designing your slides in a way that creates movement and creates kind of changes things up on your slides, whether you're using animation or just kind of shifting slides more in a sequence formation. So that's one. Make sure your equipment is, you know, set up as we mentioned. You could also start to experiment with kind of the full feature set of the platforms that you're using. So we mentioned Teams earlier has, you know, some interesting capabilities in terms of the together mode. Maybe start to experiment with that in your presentations. Zoom has this feature where you can kind of have your slides on the background. So try to experiment with that. Zoom also has polling, and I think Teams is also has gotten polling as well. So try to incorporate, you know, as many polls as you know, makes sense in your presentation, and try to see kind of different types of polling. So not just your standard bar charts, but even like a word cloud. Try using that. Try using whiteboarding within the presentation. So like, you know, Zoom and I believe Teams also offers like annotation features. So try to really maximize all of the features in your current platform if you really want to get kind of that strong foundation.
That's a good point. I just, I'm part of a class. I attend a Swedish class every week, and we use a whiteboard, and that's just so interactive, and it's so helpful to keep us engaged.
Absolutely. And if you want to take things to the next level, you can use a tool like Mural, which we use a lot at my work, which is kind of a sticky note collaboration software where you can kind of go in and you can, you know, you have this canvas that you can really put anything on top of it. So it really recreates that kind of innovation post-it noting type of session for you.
Ooh, I like it. So how are we going to keep ahead of the curve? I mean, seriously, from the time we started the white paper to the time we published it, you were making edits because technology had already changed. What can our listeners do to stay ahead?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Yeah, there's one company that actually got acquired by Apple while we were writing the paper. And so I had to take that out. But yeah, I mean, this is all about kind of being a more, having more foresight and agility as a professional and as a leader in your field. So being able to, so first of all, the key is being aware of all these shifts. So understand that all of these things are happening, and where you can try to experiment with them, because most of these are actually very accessible tools, and you know, you could try them out really today, and you can start using them. And kind of like what Troy was saying, he downloaded the ORI app and he started using it, and now he knows what an AI kind of supplemental coach for presentations looks like. And by the way, just as a side note, those kind of apps, the AI apps, they're a really good way, a really good showcase of how people and AI or people and machines can work really well together. So those apps that we mentioned, they essentially take in your speech and almost like PowerPoint presenter coach, if anyone's used that, they give you kind of a summary of your speaking style and some tips that you can use for the future. So it's a really great way for, like, if you're a presentation coach or an executive presence coach, you know, it's a way for you to kind of stay almost 24/7 with your clients, because you can give them tips, but then you can give them the app to kind of extend yourself to the time when you're not available to be with them. And they can practice over and over and work on things like filler words or, you know, those basic things that can really set them up for more for success. And then you can work on more strategic things with them, like, you know, storyline development and that sort of stuff. So, and kind of just the knowledge and the experimentation, that is really the key. So I'd encourage anybody here to look at the white paper and try, you know, two or three of the apps and the resources that we mention. It doesn't have to be, you know, virtual worlds, but even though I personally really like it, but just try and be aware of what that experience is like. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to not use a virtual world because you don't know about it, or because you're kind of hesitating, you're intimidated by trying it. You know, if you've tried it, you now know what it is. Maybe it's not relevant for your clients today, or maybe even a year from now, but at least you know what it is, and you know, you can talk more intelligently about these things. So kind of experimentation and kind of getting your hands dirty with all this stuff is the key.
I love it.
And And of course, definitely consider joining the Presentation Guild to really experiment with all of these different tools with like-minded professionals, because this is really the top of the industry. Everybody's trying to stay ahead, stay on the cutting edge. And if you can join and kind of help build that future together, that's what's really going to raise us all collectively and improve presentations really around the world.
Hear, hear.
So well said. That was awesome. Okay, we should have met and recorded this in alt space. I don't even know if that's possible, but it would have just been cool and on topic to wrap up this conversation. The world of presenting, it has been evolving. And that evolution, it was kind of put into warp speed in 2020 this year. Thank you, Yulia, for a great conversation on this amazing convergence of presentation, of design, and just presenting. And I guess we got to say, and being an audience member, because even that is rapidly changing. So, and not to detract or focus only on the one cool, ooh-ah, shiny topic, the Presentation Guild's recently released white paper entitled The Future of Presentations in a Virtual World. It is a fast read. It is professionally laid out. It is something everyone listening to this podcast should download and read. I mean, it's 15 pages of great insights and will kind of make you the life of the party that we can't attend. Hey, stay with us for pro and tech tips. But first, thank you, Sandy, for back at the beginning of the year being a member of the Presentation Guild team that envisioned and helped us, you know, bring this industry gathering of experts together. I think it is an amazing step. I look forward to hearing about the next one that'll obviously come out of the Guild's think tank options. And thank you, Yulia, for joining us for a great presentation conversation.
Question first, has my audio been good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to know now?
I do want to know now. No, this is why. This
no, it's
why.
Good.
So let me start. You know, I just asked everyone on the podcast if my audio had been good throughout this, even though I checked many, many times before we started the podcast and I asked up front, but I wanted to make sure because I think it was a couple episodes ago, I recommended the Jabra Evolve 40 UC professional wired headset. And while I still use my Audio Technica, it's a little bit more professional, I've recorded this entire podcast using that headset. I've got the mono version.
Oh, nice.
And I'll tell you what, it makes the process so much more streamlined for me. I use it for my meetings, my Zoom and my team meetings, but I did happen to pull it up for this podcast. So that's my recommendation today.
All right.
That's awesome.
Yulia, do you have a tip for us?
Yeah. So in the spirit of interactivity and kind of keeping the audience on their toes, I was thinking about, you know, how do I bring in more diverse voices into the conversation, especially when there's a large audience? So I kind of came up with this, what I call the random audience picker, which essentially it's a really quick way to call on a random person on your video conference. So you kind of have this wheel that spins and lands on a particular person. So it's something that we've used really with our executive audiences, and it can really even be used in preschool as well. So we'll add.
Yulia designed it.
No way. Oh, wait.
It's
go
a
for
PowerPoint.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, really? This is even getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually, it just uses spin animations that kind of make it random. It's like a start and stop trigger. And uh-huh. Then you just use SmartArt to kind of put everybody's faces in. You could use faces or...
Do we have a link to it?
This is a great inclusivity thing. See, I'm using the terms from the white paper. I would have normally said engagement tool. So this is a great idea. So how are you, well, two questions. How are you using it? And two, is it going to be available as like a link to everybody, like a tutorial or an actual file?
Sure. Yeah. I've actually created a tutorial on it on my YouTube channel. And I can also create kind of, if you want the shortcut, I can offer a file that you can download and kind of pre and populate with your own pictures. And I mean, you can use this for anything, not just choosing audience members, but you can use it as like a game of, you know, which number is going to land on or which topic we're going to talk about. It's just a nice way to kind of add a random and fun element to your presentations.
So fun. So cool. Great use of PowerPoint too. Ha! We tied it all back together.
All right. Thanks, Yulia. Troy, what do you have this week?
Okay. I am going. So I've kind of become a little frustrated with PowerPoint's eyedropper tool, mm-hmm. you know, to pick up colors.
Inconsistent.
I know lots of people have. Yeah, it hasn't. And now that I'm doing more web-based stuff, I need hex values more. And it, you know, it was obviously based on, well, actually you did get hex values, but it, you had to go into the more colors and see it. So anyways, my pro tip today is a free download, and I'm going to right click it right now so I can get the name of it, because it's called Instant Eyedropper. One of the designers on our team said, here's the one I'm using. And it just sits in your, you know, I don't know if this is Mac-based as well. So I'm definitely saying it's good for Windows, and I will look it up and find out about Mac. But anyways, Instant Eyedropper, quick download. It puts a little color wheel in your taskbar, and anytime you want it, you just click on it, and you instantly, anywhere you move on any app, it gives you the hex value, but you could also change that to be the RGB value. You could change it to be, I mean, you could do Delphi hex, you could do HSL, you can do all kinds of different things, and it captures it, and then you can paste it into anywhere. So it's a really, really fast, accurate tool for capturing colors on screen of any app or anything and putting it into like Photoshop or PowerPoint or wherever you need to use that web value, WordPress, things like that. I'm really, really loving this little add-in.
Just to clarify, it doesn't change the color for you.
No.
It gives you the value. It's like yes. The old Pixie by Nattyware.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's a little more robust in its options. You can actually create a 7x7 grid of colors you can quickly pick up from. So you can create kind of like a dynamic on the go color scheming tool. But yeah, it's free and it's easy and it works really, really well. So I'm throwing it out there because I just added it to my computer within the last few weeks. Of course, the designer that's been using it has probably had it for a year or so and just kind of flippantly said, well, this is what I like. I was like, well, let me look at that. And it was very cool. So there's my pro tip. Get a better color picker. Instant eyedropper.
Thanks, Troy. How about you, Nolan?
Topaz Labs Gigapixel. So Topaz Labs has a number of different pieces of software. The one that I'm recommending that I've been playing with is called Gigapixel, and it allows you to upscale using, you know, our favorite term, AI, upscale images. So when you don't have enough pixels, it will give you more. And it is good. It is not, I mean, it is sometimes, it depends on the image. It always depends on the image and everything, but it is pretty magical at times with certain images. And, you know, it'll add in pixels, it'll sharpen and things like that. And it's got a lot of controls. But yeah, I've taken, you know, blurry 72 DPI, 1-inch things and blown them up, you know, 4 times that. And for certain images, it's really great. So take a look.
I take it that's not free.
It's not free. Okay. There are, there's a lot of software that does that. I know that Icons 8 has like a free upload thing, but you don't have quite the control or everything. There's a lot of stuff out there, but this is a professional tool.
Just to clarify, I'm not looking for free. I just trust things I pay for, meaning there's a developer behind it that has a vested stake in it.
But I mean, how often do we get, you know, these awful images from clients, you know, in presentations and things, and like, oh, can't you use this image? And instead of saying no, you can say, let's see. And
let's give
you know,
it a try.
And it's like, it's worth, I think it's like in the $50 to $80 range or something.
$99.
They were having a special, I think, when I last saw it.
Okay.
They might.
Well, but, here's the deal is it's less expensive than Photoshop.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And hey, we always say this, you can always, you know, charge clients for things like this.
That's right.
Everything has to be free or included.
So Topaz Labs Gigapixel, topazlabs.com, and we'll put it in the show notes.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional design presentation agency. We do lots and lots of work. We do lots and lots of virtual meetings. We do lots and lots of, oh, what's some words I could throw in from this? We do lots and lots of accessibility, inclusivity, engagement. I don't know. There's all kinds of cool stuff we do. Check us out online, tlccreative.com, and the blog, thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. Check out my YouTube channel under Present Your Story. There's Nolan Hames Creative if you want to hire us for training or design. And that's probably enough for now. Yulia?
This is Yulia from Hydra Consulting and the PowerPoint Spice YouTube channel, showcasing innovative future-focused presentation tricks. Connect with me on LinkedIn and check out my tutorials by searching PowerPoint Spice on YouTube.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org, and I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as @PPTWhiz.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show host with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.